The Rockets drop another one to the LA Clippers. A lot of negative in this one, but still some positive takeaways from this game. Jalen Green's mid-range game, it exists. What a miracle. Alperen Şengün asking for minutes in the nicest way possible post-game. KJ Martin actually hitting his three ball with some consistency as of late. We're going to break it all down for you right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and also host of Locked On NBA Mondays. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin and the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets. As always, thank you so much for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. Got a lot to get into in today's episode, a lot to run back from the Rockets against the Clippers. The third meeting of these two teams in like, what, 12, 13 days? It's kind of ridiculous how like these two teams have been forced to play each other within this tiny little frame. Once right before the All-Star break, these two meetings back to back here in Houston right after the All-Star break. But a lot to take away from this one. You know, I kind of figured with these two games here back to back against the Clippers in Houston that one of them would be a close game and that one of them would be an absolute blowout. This game wound up being the absolute blowout, unfortunately. Still some positives, a lot of negative from this one game in particular. But as far as what we're going to go over, going to go over the general game flow, kind of how the game unraveled the way that it did. And then we'll get into the positives from this game, as well as just some of the things that are kind of frustrating, right? And some of the glimpses that we saw in this game, like Jalen Green's mid-range, the, you know, what Al P brings to the floor compared to some of the other guys that Jalen Green is usually sharing a majority of his minutes with, things like that. So we'll get into all that. But first, let's start with just the general game flow. I mean, this was a game where in the first half, the Rockets were largely competitive. It didn't you know, looked like a blowout in the first half whatsoever. Christian Wood got off to a really strong start in this game. He had 12 first quarter points on 5 of 6 shooting. Things looked pretty good. He had a couple blocks. I mean, it was an impressive first quarter from C. Wood, especially after, you know, a maybe not so impressive game prior against this Clippers team. And ultimately, he wound up having a really quiet night. So after putting up those 12 points in the first quarter, he scored just 5 points the rest of the way, finished just 7 of 11 shooting, 2 of 4 from the 3-point line, 8 rebounds, had an assist, finished with 3 blocks, 17 points. I mean, you know, the stat line itself doesn't look bad, except for the fact that he was largely absent for the remainder of the three quarters after, you know, the first frame in this one. He just had a really quiet game, kind of not being able to put the ball in the hoop, not really doing much of anything else, not making his impact felt on the game, which is not how it felt in the first quarter. It definitely felt like he was going punch for punch with Ivica Zubats, and that's exactly what the Rockets needed, seeing as how Zubats was yet again having his way with this Rockets team. He wound up putting up 22 points, 12 boards on 8 of 12 shooting. He had 2 assists. He had a steal. He had a block. Now, the Rockets did have a little bit more success in this game, kind of pulling Zubats out of the paint and kind of attacking the Clippers defense that way. The very first play of the game, right? Or you know, second play of the game, very first play of the game for Jalen Green. They ran Jalen Green off of a screen at the top of the key, and Zubats had to decide between sticking with Christian Wood and giving up the wide open three or tagging Jalen Green on the roll towards the rim. And he opted to stick with Christian Wood. Dennis Schroeder hits Jalen Green with the pass. Jalen Green goes straight up to the rim, gets an easy dunk for 2. First bucket of the game for Jalen Green. And I thought we would see a lot more of that in this game. And unfortunately, we did not. So this game kind of unraveled for the Rockets in the second half after a largely competitive first half, that big first quarter from Christian Wood, an impressive second quarter from Alperen Şengün. The Clippers hung 40 on the Rockets in the third frame, a 40-25 third quarter in favor of the Clippers. And from that point on, I mean, it was basically, that was kind of all she wrote at that point. Like, this Rockets team has a knack for giving up those really big, explosive quarters and then not finding a way to claw their way back into the game. Because, you know, at that point, it's just too little, too late. In garbage time, Al P and Jalen Green were able to put up some numbers. And so that was kind of a nice little, I don't know, consolation prize that Jalen Green and Al P got to have some garbage time minutes together, that Jalen Green got to kind of work on his stat line a little bit, with Jalen Green finishing with 20 points, 9 of 21 shooting, just 1 of 6 from 3, only made 2 trips to the free throw line, only hit one of them, had 4 rebounds, had an assist, had a couple steals, had a block. But to kind of see the ball go into the hoop a little bit in garbage time, especially coming into this, you know, first game of a back-to-back, going into the second night of the back-to-back against the Jazz, hopefully it'll help Jalen, you know, having, you know, seen the ball go into the hoop a little bit more, maybe get back into his rhythm a little bit, you know, at the end of this one in garbage time. That's something that, you know, Rockets fans have been clamoring for all season, is just let Jalen and Al P play in garbage time. And the rookies all were on the floor in garbage time. They got reps together in this one, and that's what matters, especially at the end of these games that are kind of out of hand. It was nice to see those three guys out there, Jalen, Al P, Josh, getting those reps on the floor. But another guy in this game who actually had, you know, a somewhat impressive performance, all things considered, with kind of where this game had gone and how it had, you know, basically turned into a blowout by the end of the third quarter, was KJ Martin. Largely because KJ still brings everything that he does on a nightly basis, the energy, the hustle, the rebounding, you know, the improved defense this season, he brings all that. But the one thing that he hasn't brought this season has been the three ball. And in this game, we saw him drain a couple three-pointers. He's actually now shooting, I think, somewhere north of like 70% from three since the All-Star break, which is not sustainable in the slightest. But on his season average, he's up to around like 34-ish% after hovering around 30% for the majority of the season. That is a stellar improvement for KJ Martin, because he needs to be able to, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later on in segments 2 and 3, when I talk about just Jalen Green unlocking and utilizing the mid-range a little bit, as well as what Al P brings to the table besides just his scoring and his passing. I'm going to kind of go broader and talk about just the team construction as a whole and why we're seeing, you know, one of the reasons that I think we're seeing Jalen Green struggle essentially. And with KJ Martin, he has to have that three ball working, because it unlocks so much more of the rest of his game. It unlocks more for his teammates, and it makes him a playable force right on the floor, rather than him just being, you know, this bona fide energy guy off the bench. If he can have a consistent three ball sitting around the 34, maybe 35% mark, then suddenly he becomes a prototypical like 3-and-D slasher type guy who can be a terror in transition, who is a great weak side shot blocker, who's an much improved on ball defender. And again, it's very similar to Jay Sean Tate in the way that both of those guys, the one area of their game. Now, I will say, you know, KJ has a bit more to work on in his game before I completely lump those two guys together. But the biggest question mark with both of those guys is their shooting. And that's kind of ultimately their downfall in the way that defenses kind of play those guys sometimes, is they just treat them as non-shooters. And at the end of the day, if you're not going to convert at a decent clip from three, then you are effectively a non-shooter. And it does kind of hamstring the Rockets offense from time to time, because it doesn't allow other guys, the ball handlers, Jalen Green, Kevin Porter Jr., the effectiveness, the spacing to be able to do what they want to do, you know, properly on the basketball floor. So with that, I am, you know, impressed with KJ Martin. Hopefully the shooting will stick around. We saw this happen last season where there was an uptick in his shooting numbers at the tail end of the season. Maybe it's just, you know, it's similar to the whole like March EG thing, right? Where EG goes off every single March and becomes like prime Ray Allen from three. Although EG's been having a, you know, really, really nice season from three just overall this year. But maybe it's the same thing with KJ Martin, right? Where he just suddenly, it turns on in March for him, and he's just going to become a total three-point sniper. I would love to see that. That'd be a welcome development here for the tail end of the Rocket season. But coming up, I want to get into Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, observations from this game, and, you know, kind of what's going on on the floor with those two guys, as well as hearing from them and their post-game commentary. We're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Prize Picks, because look, when it comes to daily fantasy options, you've got to check out Prize Picks if you're looking for a daily fantasy option for the NBA. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Basically, it's so simple. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times back on any entry. And it's just you versus the projected numbers. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Prize Picks also allows mixed sports entries. So you can, you know, pick from a couple different sports. It doesn't have to just be NBA. They've got options for college football, NFL, MLB. Well, no MLB, unfortunately, with the lockout, soccer, MMA, right? But they've got a ton of different options that you can explore. And right now, for a limited time, PrizePicks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our listeners. Listeners get $50 for free if a player in your first PrizePicks entry scores just a single point, but you just have to use promo code NBA. That's right. This is an exclusive offer just for Locked On listeners. Sign up today and use promo code NBA, $50 for free if a player in your first PrizePicks entry scores just a single point. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, one of the developments that we saw in this Rockets-Clippers game was Jalen Green actually utilizing the mid-range a little bit. It was a miracle. This is something that I've been, you know, very vocal about throughout the season, is just let Jalen utilize the mid-range a little bit, especially depending on how defenses are guarding him. And this is something that we saw the Clippers do across all three of these games, is they basically are conceding the mid-range to Jalen. And with his skill set, with his bounce, with his elite speed and athleticism, his ability to stop on a dime, getting to that mid-range spot and getting to that little mid-range like step back or kind of driving hard and then pulling up on a dime and sending his defender flying and then having that open 15 to 18 footer can be huge for his game. So I actually asked Steven Silas about it after the game.
Jalen took some mid-range jumpers tonight, just kind of what the defense is giving him. Is that something you've spoken to him about just kind of the way they're defending him on certain evenings, especially this Clippers team these past two games?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about a lot as far as taking what the defense gives us. So, you know, the mid-range was there a little bit more tonight than usual. And I, again, talked to him about giving it up and getting it back, and he did some of that tonight as well. So, he's learning. He's definitely learning.
And it's a great sign to see, because ultimately it did kind of feel like Jalen used that mid-range a little bit more in the G League, which probably opened up his game just a little bit more than what we've seen here at the NBA level. And so later on, when Jalen took the podium, both myself and shout out to, you know, good friend, a great worker, great reporter for the Rockets, Big Sarge, kind of followed up asking Jalen about his mid-range game in this one.
More comfortable with your mid-range game?
Yeah, I need to start getting more comfortable, but I'm working on it right now, still trying to get it down to the T. The Clippers played me this whole time, trying to get me to in between game, so just gotta know when to take those shots.
Is that something you and Coach have spoken about, the way certain teams are defending you, kind of dropping their bigs really low and kind of just parking themselves in the paint, getting that mid-range spot, kind of trying to open up the rest of the floor for you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really take a lot of mid-ranges. I'm either three or to the cup. So once I get that in-between game, I think it takes my whole game to another level.
Yeah, so it's very apparent that this is something that Jalen understands that he needs to be working on. Just before the Clippers game, I did see Jalen Green with Coach John Lucas working on some floaters, which isn't something that I've really seen in his warm-up repertoire before. You know, usually these players, they go through a very specific sequence of, you know, shots in their pregame routines. And I've watched Jalen's pregame routine a lot this season, and I don't think I've ever seen him do the series of floaters that he was attempting, you know, pregame in this one. Now, he wasn't, you know, attempting them at game speed, which I saw a few people kind of commenting on when I posted the video online, but ultimately it's just working on that touch, getting familiar with the shot and putting those reps in. And that's exactly what we saw. I saw him attacking the cup from all five angles, right? Straight ahead from the two baselines, from the slant, you know, from the wings, just all five essential angles from how he might be attacking the cup in a game. He was attempting floaters both like directly into the bucket. He was attempting floaters off the glass, and that's kind of a welcome development to see for Jalen to understand he needs to have a bit more of an array of moves that he can utilize in the mid-range, not just stopping and popping for, you know, a 15 to 18 foot jumper. But if he's got his defender, you know, locked away, sealed off on his hip, and he can't necessarily pull up for a clean jumper, but to be able to, you know, keep the defender behind him and then, you know, elevate and knock in a floater, that's going to do wonders for his game. And in this one against the Clippers, right, and especially the previous one against the Clippers, we saw him, what, go 4 of 18 in the previous one. This one, he went 9 of 21. And ultimately, when teams understand that all they're going to have to do against him is play him for the three ball or play him for the drive and that he's not going to take the mid-range ever, then it becomes a little bit one-dimensional in how you're going to guard him, right? Because if all they have to do is go under screens and they're going to concede the three ball because he's just not converting them at a super great rate right now, then that's one thing. Or they're going to fight over the screen and push him in towards the paint and drop their big, which is exactly what Zubats did in game two of this little, I don't know, three-game miniseries against the Clippers. And that's why Jalen Green struggled so much inside in the previous matchup. But in this one, we did see Jalen Green utilize that mid-range just a little bit more. We saw him go 3 of 5 from the mid-range in this game, so 60% shooting overall. And that's something that, again, he can really utilize to his advantage to open up the rest of his game, to get in rhythm, to force the defense to be a little bit more, you know, honest in how they're guarding him, to either A, pull the big a little bit further out of the paint. And this doesn't necessarily just have to mean that it's going to be easier buckets for Jalen, because when the defense starts guarding him in a, you know, very, you know, one-dimensional type way, then it also kind of dampens the rest of what he's able to do for the Rockets offense as a whole, right? Because if guys are just able to stay home on their shooters, if, you know, they're able to park bigs in the paint, then you can't get cutters, you can't get cross action going. And so it makes it a lot harder for the Rockets as a collective unit to thrive when you've got a guy in Jalen who is only playing a very specific type of way, either three or to the cup, to use his words here as an example. But ultimately, this was a nice development. This was something that I've been clamoring for, that a lot of Rockets fans have been clamoring for from Jalen, is to utilize that mid-range a little bit more. And based on his post-game comments, it sounds like he understands that depending on how certain teams are guarding him, he does need to utilize that mid-range a little bit more. So it'll be really interesting to see if we start to see that become a bigger part of his game over this last little stretch of the season for the Rockets. But coming up, I do want to talk about Alperen Şengün, his impact, his two-man game with Jalen Green, him asking for minutes in the nicest way possible post-game. We're going to get there after a quick message from my friends over at Built Bar. Because look, when it comes to protein bars, you've got to check out Built Bar if you haven't done it yet. Built Bar is the number one protein bar on the market. They've got so many amazing flavors to choose from. Raspberry, strawberry, cookies and cream, mint brownie, my personal favorite, coconut brownie chunk. That is like the goat flavor of all of them. So many amazing options. And look, every single bar is low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Every bar is covered in delicious chocolate. They're not gritty or chalky like some of the other protein bars you'll find out there. These bars are delicious. I honestly look forward to eating them. They're great if you're trying to lose a little bit of weight. They're great if you're on a keto diet. And you can check them out. Just go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your very next order of the best tasting protein bars on the market. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Let's talk a little Alperen Şengün here in this segment, his impact on the floor, his impact with Jalen Green. And so in this one, especially because we saw them play together in garbage time, and then we also saw them kind of working the two-man game a little bit throughout this one, more so than we usually see with Jalen and Alp sharing the floor. So I asked Alp about his two-man game with Jalen after the fact.
In the game together, how do you feel about your two-man game and being able to create for each other in dribble handoff situations and things like that?
Şu anda çok süre bulamıyoruz beraber. Ama tabii ki de ikimiz de ileride daha fazla süreler alacağız. Birimizi biliyoruz az çok. Söylesen.
We are not getting a lot of minutes to play together, but I believe we will receive more minutes. We will get more minutes in the future. To play together.
And then ikimiz de birbirimizi biliyoruz.
We know well each other. When we play together, I know what he's going to do. He knows me.
Ben onun için o kolaylaştırmaya çalışıyorum. O benim için kolaylaştırmaya çalışıyorum.
And we both trying to our job easier on the court.
So this is LP just being in the nicest way possible, basically saying we're not playing together a lot. And it's true. These two guys, I remember like thinking at one point earlier this season going, wow, they never share the floor together. Like it almost seems like Jalen would always check out just before LP would check in the rotation. And in this game specifically, LP was the ninth guy off the Rockets bench. Like that's just kind of tough. Like in a game where you run a nine-man rotation to be the last guy off the bench. Now, I will concede Christian Wood was having a strong first quarter. That's understandable. But that's just the frustrating part of this dynamic is that LP and his minutes are parked directly behind Christian Wood. But as far as the season is concerned, LP and Jalen Green have played a total of 286 minutes together. They've only played 165 minutes since officially moving away from the double big lineup, which was all the way back at the end of November, the start of the seven-game win streak on 11-24 against the Chicago Bulls. And that was also the game in which, obviously, Jalen was first hurt. So then Jalen is sidelined for a significant chunk. But they've only played 165 minutes together since then, since abandoning the double big lineup that was effectively ruining the floor spacing, messing up everything that they wanted to do offensively, led to the 15-game losing streak, all of that. So I try not to incorporate that lineup or that basically anything from 11-23 earlier. I try to just crumple all that up and toss it out the window when considering things like, you know, minutes, advanced stats, all of that, because that lineup was such a dumpster fire, running the double bigs with Tice, Wood, and Şengün all sharing the floor for stretches of the game. It just didn't work out very well. So I try to ignore that when I look at, you know, things like the numbers and whatnot. So their minutes played, they've barely shared the floor at all, which is a travesty because at the end of the day, LP is the one player on this team, the one big on this team. I almost want to just say one player that really impacts the game in a positive way for Jalen Green and effectively makes life easier for Jalen Green on the floor. And yet we don't see those two guys sharing the floor nearly enough. And I say that because ultimately one of the issues in what we see on a nightly basis with this Rockets team is they don't create enough advantages. And whether Jalen is being run as an off-ball player or whether he has the ball in his hands and is, you know, running in the pick and roll, Jalen doesn't get enough help from his teammates to create advantages for himself to where a lot of Jalen's possessions just devolve into one-on-one isolation. Like, you know, I'm going to try and beat you off the bounce and get something towards the rim, or I'm going to go in, like settle into a step back three. That's it. That's what a lot of his offensive possessions boil down to, unless they're in transition. Because at the end of the day, Jalen gets the ball coming off of a lot of little pin downs, a lot of curl screens, whatever, and they're not really creating advantages because the guys who are setting these screens don't have anywhere near the gravity that they are supposed to. I'm going to roll through this list. Christian Wood, I'll save Christian Wood for last. Sorry, that's not fair. Jayshon Tate sets quality screens. But Jayshon Tate has no shooting gravity and he has no vertical like spacing gravity when he's rolling towards the rim. So effectively, defenses only have to worry about Jayshon catching, you know, a little bounce pass or maybe a shovel pass, you know, rolling to the rim. And yeah, Jayshon is a competent finisher, but he doesn't have nearly the gravity that you would want in a true pick and roll. KJ Martin does set good screens and understands screening angles very well. And KJ Martin does have the vertical spacing, the vertical gravity that you want out of a rim runner. However, KJ Martin provides zero shooting gravity. So he is effectively just a rim running big. That's not actually a big, unfortunately. So even though he can jump out of the gym, it's still a little bit more difficult for him to truly play over the top of opposing defenses just because of his size, right? He's clocking in at, you know, maybe 6'6". So in the land of the Giants, yeah, KJ Martin can get up. And if you can get him close enough to the rim and just toss a lob up there, he'll probably be able to flush it down and finish it. But it just doesn't provide the same level of gravity as a traditional rim running big does. And again, no shooting gravity. So there's no risk of him to, you know, pop out of the pick and roll and gravitate towards the 3-point line and drag a defender with him in that capacity. He does it sometimes, and he's usually left wide open because he's not a quality 3-point shooter at this point, unfortunately. Let's get to Christian Wood. Christian Wood has all the tools to be a proper rim running big, to be a pick and pop big, to be a dynamic big out of the pick and roll, but Christian Wood does not set good screens. So this is what, see the problem that we're getting in here with all these players that Jalen has to share the floor with. He doesn't have somebody that provides all these elements in one package, except for Alperen Şengün. Alpi sets incredibly solid screens where he actually walls off Jalen Green's man and creates an advantage for Jalen Green. All Jalen needs is like a split second where his man has to fight over and through a legitimate screen, and then he's off to the races downhill towards the rim, and he's got his defender parked away on his hip, and then he's able to create either for Alpi rolling towards the rim or Alpi popping out to the three-point line, or he's able to create for himself, be it a stop-and-pop mid-range jumper, be it driving all the way to the rim and finishing around the big man, depending on what the pick-and-roll coverage looks like. And we saw that take place multiple times in the game against the Clippers, was Alpi setting quality screens for Jalen right at the top of the key, be it a true pick and roll screen, be it a dribble handoff screen. I think my favorite one was the one where Alpi actually did set a screen for Jalen, a dribble handoff screen. Jalen got the ball, dribbled in, and then, you know, dribbled into a mid-range pull-up jumper. That's exactly what you want to be able to see, because Jalen just needed that little bit of separation to be able to, you know, take a couple steps in and pull up directly into his shot. And he's either A, going to get fouled when that happens, or B, he's going to get a wide open shot. And then not only that, but it's the back and forth between Jalen and Alpi where they both understand that they can kind of give and go, right? Jalen is so explosive that you would assume that he and Alpi can have a really nice two-man game, because Alpi thrives when he's got guys on the floor that can cut, that can move off ball, that can attack the rim when he's got the ball in his hands, and then he can create easy opportunities for them. So my number one thing on my wish list as the Rocket season is winding down is, please allow Jalen and Alpi to have more time on the floor together, because those two work so well in tandem with one another. And again, it's just frustrating because Jalen Green, as one of the starters, and Christian Wood as one of the starters, tend to share so many of their minutes on the floor together. I really do think that C. Wood as the lone big on the floor does limit a lot of what they're able to do with Jalen Green out there on a nightly basis, right? Because if you've got C. Wood as the big who's supposedly setting these screens for Jalen to come off pin downs and curl off the perimeter and run dribble handoff sets with, they're not great screens, unfortunately. Like, Christian Wood is basically setting these screens with the intention that he wants to get his, right? Immediately coming out of the screen, rolling or popping. Right, he's not setting the screen to create an advantage for the ball handler. And that's what these screens are supposed to be. As the big, or as the person setting the screen, you're supposed to be trying your absolute darndest to create an advantage for whoever has the ball in their hands, or whoever's coming off the dribble handoff set, right? And Alpi does that. Alpi does that incredibly well. Jayshon Tate does it pretty well too, and so does KJ Martin. But again, those two guys don't have nearly the gravity that Alpi does as a legitimate big, somebody who can also pass out of those situations, somebody that has been converting on a decent clip as shooting out of those situations in pick and pop, you know, scenarios, as well as, again, rolling to the rim and finishing strong inside or drawing a foul. So that's kind of my rant here out of this game, is that we got a taste, we saw a glimpse of it, and we need to see more of it moving forward from Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün. Even Jalen talked about his two-man game with Alperen Şengün.
Jalen, how do you feel your two-man game is developing with Alpi?
It's getting really good. He's learning a lot of things there, and I'm learning a lot, so we just trying to put things together with our pick session or just a handoff, cutting to the rim. Just trying new things.
So at the end of the day, these are the two guys, these are the two, you know, faces of the Rockets moving forward. And I want to see them be able to interact more on the floor. I want to see them get reps together on the floor. And there is a way to do that, right? Just stagger the lineups a little bit better. And that's on Steven Silas to try to utilize those two guys together more as much as possible, which is, again, top of my wish list for the end of this Rockets season. But with that, those are final thoughts from this game overall. As always, appreciate you for checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google, brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Also, be sure to check out the new Locked on Rockets YouTube channel. Go to YouTube, search Locked on Rockets, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. What is your feeling about Jalen and Alpi and their two-man game. Do you like it? Do you want to see more of it? Let me know in the comments. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.